Welcome to another episode of Reading the Bible Responsibly. We're going to take a little bit different of a tactic today. Instead of talking about a piece of Scripture itself, we're going to talk about choosing a translation of Scripture. This is in response to a listener question from my friend Jill Kelly, and she just wanted me to address the difference in translations and maybe how we should choose one. So are all English translations the same? Are there some that are so inaccurate that they're not a good representation of Scripture? How should I go about choosing a translation? The first thing about translations, when people are choosing, they often say something like, "Look, I just want a Bible that will tell me what God said." And I want to refer you to some previous things I've talked about and remind you that the original scriptures are in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And we don't have those original copies. We have copies of copies. But the big point is, what God said is not in English, it's in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have anything useful or that we can't know at all what God said. There were meticulous methods to copy these manuscripts down. There are good translators. There's not really any deal-breaker differences in the original language manuscripts and what we have. You might be familiar with things like the ending of Mark, where your Bible might say some manuscripts differ. We'll probably talk about that in a future episode. But what we have, basically, are translations. So translations, when we pick them, we want to ask the question, what is the best representation of what Scripture says in the language I'm most familiar with? One category you might have heard about is translations that are considered formal equivalents versus dynamic equivalents. Formal would be more word for word. Dynamic would be more thought for thought. You know, sometimes when the wording's awkward, a formal equivalence translation will leave the awkward wording and leave that to you to sort of sort out. And a dynamic equivalence translation will try to clean that up and say it the way we would more naturally say it. And there are pluses and minuses to both of those methods. Let me give you some examples. So even before we get to formal equivalents, we might talk about an interlinear. An interlinear Bible has the Hebrew and the Greek text, and then below it, each word, it has the English equivalent. But the word order is very different in languages. You probably know that if you speak another language. Here is the closest to a word-for-word translation of Jude 1:1. Jude, of Jesus Christ, servant, brother, then of James, to those in God the Father, having been loved and in Jesus Christ, having been kept called. Now that's awkward and not at all how we'd say it. Here's an example from the New American Standard, which would be a formal equivalence, a more word-for-word translation. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are the called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. And then here's the New International Version, which many of you probably use. It's considered a dynamic equivalence translation, so more thought for thought. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who've been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. Now, beyond dynamic equivalences, there are translations. We'd actually call them paraphrases. This is like the Message, if you know about that. These are, I think, fine for devotional reading as long as we know they're a paraphrase and we know that's what the purpose is. So Eugene Peterson's Message is a great example. Peterson is an expert at the ancient languages. He's also a master writer. So he may take some liberties we don't agree with, but I think he has a solid grounding in the text, and I think his paraphrase is useful in certain instances. Here's an example from the Message of Jude 1:1. I, Jude, am a slave to Jesus Christ and brother to James, writing to those loved by God the Father, called and kept safe by Jesus Christ. So that's just a rundown of some differences in translations and kind of the methodology behind it. It's also helpful to know who's doing the translating of the version that you're reading. If you want good translators, you want people who are experts in the original languages and use the original languages as a basis. So like you don't want a translation that's based off another English translation. You want it done by people who are familiar with and using the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. You also though want people who are experts in the end language. We want them to know about the constantly changing nature of, for us, English. So there's a scripture that the NRSV changed because it said in older English, "I will accept no bull." Well, that's used a different way in our context, and so they said that'd be a difficult thing, let's change it. Or the word booty, that got changed. Not because it's inaccurate, but because we don't use that really for plunder anymore. We have other uses for that word, and so the translator said, "Hey, we know English, and we know how people are going to misunderstand that word. We need to fix that." And also, you want, overall, a translation that's done by a committee versus an individual. I know I just talked about Eugene Peterson, and I hope I communicated the good parts and the things we need to pay attention to in using his version. Overall, when I want to get accurate translations, I want it done by a committee so that nobody's bias gets to win the day. Like, everybody's sitting around and providing checks and balances for each other. We talked, by the way, about gender neutrality, what I call gender accuracy, in a previous episode. That's a common question people ask these days in Bible translations. If you're curious about that, go back and listen to that episode where I talk about the philosophy behind gender accuracy in Bible translations. But now let's get practical. Most of you are just saying, I'm glad to know that information, but how do I choose? The first thing I would say is you really don't have to anymore, because most translations are available for free online and you can switch back and forth. If you go to BibleGateway.com, you can pick the translation that you want to read from. You can even choose a few to look at side by side. You know, the idea of going to the Christian bookstore and picking a translation you're going to have to live with is less of a thing now. You can look at several side by side. But I would say this, if you're picking the one you're going to read from most often, choose the one that sounds natural to you. Choose the one that you will read. That's the most important thing. Choose one you'll read. Now, if you're looking for specific recommendations or you want to know what I do, here's my method. I use the NIV for everyday reading. I also use it when I'm teaching, because that's what most people are going to be familiar with. And so I want my wording to match what they see in front of them. If I'm doing some particular study, I'm going to use the NRSV. I find that it has the most scholarly basis to it. It's got some accuracy that's important to me in certain areas. So for study, I might use the NRSV. And then if I want some interesting occasional reading from scholars, I'll read from The Message, or I'll read from N.T. Wright's Kingdom New Testament. Those are great supplements from people who know what they're doing. And so that's my rundown. Let's talk about why this matters. In some ways, I think we think the translation we use matters too much. So with just a few exceptions, all English translations will help you understand God's will. We English speakers are spoiled with such an abundance of translations, and then we go on to fight over small differences. But you know this, some languages barely have one translation. So I think we should just be really grateful we have a few to choose from, rather than getting worried about the details of the differences of each one. But it is true that understanding God's will and being faithful to Him matters. So it is important to spend time choosing a translation you will read and meditate on. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope that it's helpful to you. I hope that you are able to choose a translation that will help you be more faithful to our Lord. Thanks for continuing to share and get the word out about these. We'll see you next time.